Well, welcome once again to the Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. And with me in the studio today is the director of the Marion County Historical Society and Heritage Hall and the Popcorn Museum. Yes. And that would be Brandy Wilson. Brandy, yay!
Hey, hello! Hey. Hello, it's been forever.
It has.
We were catching up after the big break from COVID. Well, yep. We're still in the midst of COVID, but still catching up. It's been a while.
We're maintaining our 6 feet, so we're good.
Yes.
But masks just do not allow us to project very well over the microphone.
It does not. We would be mumbly, and that would not be fun.
So what's going on in your world there, Brandy?
Oh, this world has been completely upturned, I guess, this year. What we thought was starting out as this big, we were on this great momentum. We had just won a big grant in February. We participated in Statehood Day. We were going to do an exhibit at the State House. And then we reopened finally for the season. And we're preparing for Night at Heritage Hall when all of a sudden, COVID.
Yeah.
And everyone knows how that goes. It tended to halt us right in our tracks. For a long time, I think we felt like March was never going to end. And then the next thing you know,
in April,
yes,
and
May and June. And so it's been a year of changing up what we had planned. And it's been interesting, to say the least. One of the big things that we were able to do during this time, since we were closed to the public, we were trying to figure out, well, what does that mean for us? We have 4 people on staff, and we decided to brave it and go into work every day. And we had a lot of time to really go through and perfect our exhibit for the season, to make some changes, enough changes that we were able to reopen a space in our industrial area that had been closed off, and we've extended our industrial exhibit.
Oh, good.
And we were able to archive everything that was backlogged. So we still have some projects to do and some things to sort out, but to be able to go through and know what we have in our collection and that it's all in our software system is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, we cleaned and sorted so much that when it came time, I actually moved during the COVID pandemic. I kind of dreaded unpacking boxes and and moving after cleaning at the museum for so many months and going through boxes and rearranging and reorganizing and sorting stuff. It was just something that we turned, I guess, our lemons into lemonade.
Sure, sure.
So it was definitely fun to go through things that we didn't know we had and to find all these great treasures that we didn't realize were there and tied into the exhibit, or allowed us to get a little more creative with some of the other stagnant exhibits. We were able to add to them. We found some different things as we were going along, and then realized that it was a tracking device to basically track when fires happened in Marion. There was a system at the firehouse that alerted them with different bells and such, and we had that. Chief Phil Reed, who's one of our volunteers and members, he had donated that to us when he was fire chief. And we found pictures of him with the machine, and we didn't even realize what we had. So it was really cool to be able to find some of these treasures hidden in archives and to really get to know the museum. Because when you have people in and you're on a schedule for a season, you don't really get to explore and make those kinds of discoveries. You just kind of assume, okay, there's a box there, I'll go through it one day. And to be able to really get in there and know what we have was really a blessing for us and made us a little more confident in where we're at, the things that we need, and kind of what we want to do going forward with different exhibits we'll be able to do. So that was a lot of fun, a lot of hard work. But we did get the museum cleaned, and we did projects. We had some painting done and just things that we needed to do. So that was a lot of interesting time. And if you'd walk through the museum at different times as we were sorting and had things spread all out in our auditorium, people probably thought, what are they doing? But it really was a good time for us, and we enjoyed that time. And then on the governor came on and said we could reopen June 10th. So we were excited by that, but also a little fearful. We weren't ready. Mm-hmm. We had everything, you know, we had everything in turmoil because we had been working on projects thinking we're probably not going to reopen. And so we kind of halted, decided we're going to wait until July 8th. That'll be our reopen date. We'll take the time to get things cleaned the way we want. We had somebody come in and professionally clean the building. We had it sanitized. We had all of our plexiglass put up and everything was ready to go. And so we reopened for the season on July 8th. And we've had a lot of foot traffic. We started out a little slow on some of the weekends, as I mentioned to you earlier. And we're kind of wrapping up the season. We have 2 weekends left and then we'll be closed again for the season and moving into our winter mode.
Okay. So you're open weekdays, what hours?
Right now we're only open on the weekends.
Okay.
We went to our weekend hours in November. So we're open Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. And that will last, November 22nd will be our last open day. And then you'll have to wait until March of 2021 to see the exhibits and come visit us.
Okay.
So.
And when you come there, you get a twofer.
Yes.
Two for one. You get
yes.
two different museums.
You do. You get the Heritage Hall, which is everything Marion County, and then you get the Wyandotte Popcorn Museum. And that's a wonderful exhibit. It's a lot of fun. It evokes a lot of memories for a lot of our guests. And we just have a good time in there. The popcorn machines have all been restored, so they're all operational. And a few of them were able to turn on and kind of showcase and highlight. And when the lights are on, you're under a big circus tent. And it's just a whole different world in there. And it's great just to see everyone's face when they come in from all ages. They're all excited to see the Popcorn Museum. And it's just really a wonderful, wonderful space. And we're fortunate to have it. So that's a lot of fun for us. And it's just definitely a lot to see when you come in. There's a lot to Marion history. Mm-hmm. And right now we had started to focus on the 1920s because, of course, this year was, you know, 100 years since women received the right to vote. Sure. So we were focused on women's suffrage. We were focused on the speakeasy and prohibition and just kind of showcasing life in Marion County during the 1920s. And I think we're going to carry that into next year as well, because not many people got to see what we did this year. And we've done a lot of work in there. We have a lot of new additions to some of the exhibits that have been there for a number of years. We've added to those. We've had some donations made recently. I think a lot of people going through their collections and their closets and cleaning during the COVID.
Yeah, they have time at home. They got to do something.
So they've made some great donations to us, and we had we made a lot of changes in there that are really positive and just kind of showcasing what we have.
And that's something, one thing with a museum, you can't let, it has to change.
So yes. Yes.
It gives people a reason to come back
yes.
again. I mean, some things go, Prince Imperial's not going to change.
No.
But you
no.
know, everything around him
for the
most part.
Around
him is going
to. Yes. And that's, it's going to be tough for us to leave things alone, so to speak, when we close down for the winter. But we do have a lot of other projects we want to finish that we kind of stopped while we reopened. And I think everybody coming in will be pretty pleasantly surprised. And we've heard a few people who were there. It's funny to see someone come through with one of their children and they're like, I haven't been here since I was a kid in school. And I didn't realize you made these changes. So it is important to keep things updated and refreshed. And we have too much history not to share and not to be able to do that. And I think that it's just something that always will evolve and continue. So we're excited for next year and hoping that we can get back to somewhat normal, whatever that looks like, and have a regular season, do night at Heritage Hall, our lunches and dinners with the presidents. There are a lot of events that we had to cancel this year that we weren't there for a while. We thought we were going to have our first ladies luncheon in August, and for a moment we all felt normal, and we started that planning process, and then I think we had changed to level red, and the governor was closing some things and asking us to wear masks, and we made the decision not to proceed. We just didn't want to end up with an event that no one showed up at. So that's a cost to us, and we would have taken a hit one way or another, so we opted to look out for everyone's safety and just cancel. So that was a little disheartening, because you plan a menu and you move forward and you think that you're going to have this event that you love to do anyway, and then everything just ground to a halt. So that was a little bit disheartening. But as I said, we've tried to make good out of what we've been dealt with, and just updating the museum and enhancing what our exhibit space looks like has just been wonderful.
And I've been in your storage room in there.
Yes. You have
lot of, and your clothing room as well.
Yes.
You have lots of things to share.
Yes.
And you're doing your best to get those things rotated so
yes.
that people can see those. That's,
yes.
That's an important part of being a museum.
Absolutely. I'll have to have you in as one of the people who knows what it looked like before to kind of see the after. It's one of those things, you start a project and then you're like, I should have took pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't, because you just get right in the mode of, hey, we're going to do this right. today. And we started working, and then we're like, oh, that would have been a really nice before and after. But the people that have been with us long enough and have seen what we've done have just been, I guess, flabbergasted that we found space, that we were able to organize things in the manner we have. And it's really been a lot of good work. I worked muscles I didn't know I had moving stuff.
But that's a good thing.
It is. It was better than sitting behind a desk some days. I think physical work I like better than the mental sometimes.
Now, to keep things running, I believe
yes.
that you've tapped into some grants that were
yes.
available to help
yes,
keep
we
things
did.
Going.
We did. We were able to get the Ohio History Fund. Mm-hmm. We received a grant to help with operating expenses. And then we received a grant from the Ohio Humanities to help also with the reopening process, which purchasing hand sanitizer stations, plexiglass,
oh, yeah.
Just having the building cleaned, all of that are unexpected costs that you're not prepared for in a normal budget year.
Right.
And to be able to have the assistance from these organizations and the CARES Act was really tremendous for us. And it really helped keep us in a good spot when we were uncertain of what was going to happen. And I think that we were really fortunate that we acted on those opportunities and took advantage of those opportunities. And it's really helped us stay afloat and continue on. We, like I said, we started out the year with this great momentum, and we're excited for 2020 and hopeful for some projects and things we had planned for. And we've seen a lot of support from the community as far as coming out and helping. You know, we did in July, we have an annual bake sale for the at the Marion County Fair.
Mm-hmm.
The fair was canceled this year, and we were like, well, what do we do? That's kind of a fundraiser that we really benefit from. So we decided to do a non-bake sale bake sale, and we reached out to everyone in our membership, and we were like, hey, we're going to do this if you guys want to still support us. And we did better than we ever had. I went back in time and looked over some of the financials, and clear back to 2007, and this was the best year we had.
Oh, wow.
So we really did well, and that was with people being able to go to the fair and enjoy the treats that people made at their homes. So it was nice to see that we had that support from the community and from our members. And then just basically going along, our board has stepped up. They did a fundraiser for us, so that helped offset some of the costs we lost with not having some of our events too. So I'm hopeful that going into 2021 we can stay in the same momentum and trajectory, and that we continue on a good path, because I think the museum is important, and having that place to share the history of our community, not with just our local folks, but people come from miles around to visit. So it's really nice to be able to have the space we have and to continue on, and we've been very fortunate. So I know a lot of small businesses and nonprofits are not seeing the same positive benefits, but we're blessed. So I don't take that for granted.
No, you shouldn't. One thing, and I know you have a list of things there. I'm kind of...
Oh, you're fine.
Okay.
You're fine.
One thing, this was the bicentennial of Marion County?
Marion County.
Okay. And the plans for that have really gone a different direction. But Randy Winland has done a super job putting something online every day.
Yes.
And tell us about that and what that has resulted in.
Well, Randy has published daily on Facebook, our Facebook page. We have a bicentennial Facebook page. And then anybody who has a Facebook page that's tied to Marion history or Marion in some way has posted our moments and memories.
Yes.
And it's just a look back at 366 days of the past 200 years in Marion County history. And we had a leap year this year, so we got our extra day in.
Okay. Just what we needed.
Yeah, we needed an extra day. So he has compiled all of these kind of snippets and photos, and he has put that into a collection and created a publication that is the Moments and Memories, and it's a look at the Marion County bicentennial year. So we were not able to do our planned programs, our planned activities in the various villages. We were supposed to have a parade in August that was kind of reminiscent of everybody marching from the Union Depot down to the Harding home, and that was going to be kind of our ending event and having a celebration at the Harding home. So we weren't able to do that. Just a lot of things fell apart this year with regards to the bicentennial, and it was disappointing because it was several years of planning for this event. It wasn't just, hey, we're going to do this and okay, now we can't. It was several years of everyone gathering and planning and working to have this wonderful event and celebrate 200 years of Marion County. So for Randy to have the passion for Marion that he does, and to do this Moments and Memories book and publication in time for Christmas, no less, we're pretty excited because it does give a nice tribute to the year that didn't go as planned, but we're still able to celebrate that in some way. And I'm glad that he continued on with the Moments and Memories and publishing those. And the book actually goes into a little more detail. It has a little more, he has a little more photos and things included that maybe weren't necessarily published at the time of one of the Moments and Memories. Mm-hmm. So it's a really nice book. And it actually will be published and available starting Friday. So November 13th, you can start getting a copy. We'll get that online so you can purchase it online.
Oh, okay.
At marionhistory.com. Select the tag shop and the book will be there and available, and we'll ship that to you. If it's something that you would like to get and have us bring to curbside for you to pick up, you can call us. We'll make arrangements and we'll bring that out to you. It's going to be $21.99. There is tax on that. And then if we ship it to you, it's an additional $7.75 for shipping. But we're really excited, and it's going to make a nice gift for the holidays. Everybody enjoys the history on Marion, and to read these little, I guess, snippets of things you may not know, and having all of that there in a complete collection is really nice. So we're pretty excited for that, and glad that we were able to have some type of tribute for the bicentennial year.
Now, you had mentioned buying that book online,
yes.
But you have other
items. We have other books and other items,
well.
Yes.
Yes,
we have a lot. Kensel Clutter, mm-hmm. He's one of our members. Unfortunately, Kensel passed away earlier this year, and he was 100 years old, and he had more energy than anybody I've ever seen. And he wrote a lot of great stories on just the Sandusky Plains. He wrote them on... his time in World War II. Was kind of a diary compilation of his time in World War II. He suffered some injuries. He was shot down. He was a co-pilot and got shot. And the time he recovered and then coming back to Marion and starting his farm and his life. And just the history and knowledge he had of mm-hmm. so many different things. And he was always so intrigued by various things. If he picked a topic, he was writing something about it and doing the research and the work on it. His mind was just so sharp. So he was able to leave behind a lot of these books. He wrote one on the dairies that were in Marion County and gave us the book to print and publish with the proceeds benefiting the Marion County Historical Society. So we were able to have that. And I understand that there's a few other books that'll be coming our way that he had in various states that he was writing.
Okay.
So
okay.
We're pretty excited. He just really loved history and loved sharing that knowledge with people, and just we're very fortunate to have that. So we do have some of his books available. We have, of course, the Marion Postcard Series, the Marion County Postcard Series, the book on After 40 Years that takes a look at the Scioto Ordnance Plant mm-hmm. when it was in Marion, and then kind of the history of how that closed down and what it became.
That was written by Charles Miller, Charles Mosier, I believe.
Yes.
I have a copy of that at home.
It's very good. Mm-hmm. It's interesting and to see the things and what came of that and what buildings we have today because of the building of the ordinance. Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot of books like that online. If it's something that you want to pick up, then definitely get in touch with us. The last date for any kind of pickup or shipment is going to be December 17th because we do close down then for the holidays.
Okay. Well, what else do you have on your list there that you'd like to discuss with us?
Well, we also were fortunate this year. We have a project going on. It's our Marion Voices project. Mm-hmm. And this project has been several years in the making. There's a theme. Things don't just happen overnight just because you want it to. So Marion Voices kind of started out on one path. And then as we received a grant from Ohio Humanities. It was a $2,000 planning grant. And during those planning sessions, we kind of changed the whole project and what we thought it was going to be into what it has evolved into. And the project has become a folk life and Black Histories project. So we're looking at the folk life in Marion County, which means we're looking at people who are doing various traditional art forms, doing woodworking. They still practice blacksmithing, things like that that you don't hear about on an everyday basis that have been passed on from generation to generation. So we took a look at different folks throughout Marion County that have these different kind of businesses from different farms, things of that nature, and put together a list. It's on our website under MarionHistory.com, and then click on Marion Voices, and you can find a link to all of the different folk artists in Marion County. And then the other piece of that was our Black Histories. We had been working with some of our Black heritage folks here in Marion County, and we don't have a good representation in the museum of Black Histories. And it wasn't neglectful on our part or their part. It was just you can't teach a history if you don't have the objects or the stories to go with mm-hmm. that. So part of our planning process was digging in and finding these stories and then getting people to share those with us. And we have just had such a great response. And we were able to get funding. Like I said, in February, we received monies from the Ohio History Fund for the project. Mm-hmm. And then we also, that was the year prior, we had received money, additional funding from Ohio Humanities to begin the project. So after the planning phase, they liked the project. They moved us forward. And then this year, we were a recipient of a grant from the Marion Community Foundation for the project. So we were just awarded monies from them, and that's going to allow us to continue our project and kind of move it forward. What's going to basically happen is it was supposed to be in the summer, but due to COVID, we had to make it a fall project. Mm-hmm. We're right now in the process of planning our fall, basically a community co-created exhibit. And since we can't meet and do these exhibits and get together and say, okay, here's what we want this exhibit to look like on Black history, we've had to kind of change our focus a bit. So we're going to be utilizing Zoom, which has been everybody's friend during the COVID. Sure. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do some in-home kind of visits where we'll have people cooking and sharing different foods and things that they may prepare for their family, because we did discover that people have a lot of common ground when you start talking about foodways and how food impacts and brings a family together. Mm-hmm. Or maybe just gives you some kind of clout in your community. So we're going to share different recipes. We're also going to have a traditional African wear presentation that Miss Jessie Thompson will be showcasing. She actually designs and makes the garments, and she's going to show us how to wear those and how to dress. So that's going to be pretty exciting. And then we're going to take a look at a Kwanzaa celebration, and then also take a look at a couple of the churches and their choirs. Mm-hmm. So that's all in the planning phase, and that'll be in December, and that'll be our first kind of exhibit. Then we'll have another one in the spring, and then in early summer. And then the end result's going to be with a final exhibit at the Marion County Historical Society that's all on the Black histories, the stories, the oral histories we've gathered, the photos, the clothing, and we'll have an exhibit dedicated to Black histories in Marion County. And we're looking at that from the 1960s to present, because it seems like there was a migration of Black people coming to Marion during the 1960s for work and to get mm-hmm. out of the South because of race relations. Sure. So that's when we saw a bigger influx of families coming here, and that kind of is what we determined in our early planning with the Black Heritage community, and just we're excited. It's something that hasn't been done here, and to have the stories and the meetings, and it's been tragic that Zoom's had to be the way we've met these last few months, because in person you get so much more. You get to be in the room with everyone, share the stories, ask the questions, and it's just been really fun to plan and to meet so many different people. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited for the Historical Society to have this collection at our museum.
Well, that is an important part of our history. Yes. Of our society that quite often is overlooked.
It is. So we're really excited. And then just to have people willing to share their stories when I think in the past maybe they didn't know they could. Mm-hmm. So,
well, nobody's asked them.
Right. So. And so it's been nice to have these, like I said, these meetings and just to get together and come up with ideas. And I love talking with people and learning about different cultures, and so I'm just right in my element. I guess I'm kind of nosy that way. It's just fun getting to know people and understanding and learning new things.
A different point of view is always interesting. I mean,
yes,
you have had experiences that I haven't had,
right.
You know, so your point of view is different than mine.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it is interesting.
It is.
Yes.
It is. And it's just been very rewarding and something that I think we're on a good path for. And then there's so many other layers that this can take on. Mm-hmm. And it's just, and this is just such a small portion of where we envision things moving down the road. So just to have that community support too with the funding from the Marion Community Foundation, that's been huge. That was very exciting. When you see the email and they say yes, you're like, wow, we're doing something great, and people are seeing that. So, because yes. Like I said, this has been 4 years in the making. This kind of started almost at the same time. A week after I became director, I started meeting with Jess Haller Reese, who's in charge of managing the project for me, and she brought this idea in, and then how it's just changed over the last 4 years and became what it is today. So I think we're doing good things, and that's important.
I think so too. Where are we going on our next adventure now?
Well, our next adventure, we are actually getting ready to start our membership drive for the upcoming year. And we are going to be hopefully hitting a lot of mailboxes, sending out notices, asking you to join the Marion County Historical Society, become a member. Your membership helps us operate on a daily basis. It helps do all of these programs and continue basically sharing the history of Marion, collecting the history of Marion, and preserving the history of Marion. So it's very important. Our members are so, so important to us. And if you're not a member, we encourage you to become a member. Like I've mentioned earlier, when you come into the museum, it's not always the same experience. So you're going to come in and find something different. We've had children who've come in for school trips and then come back with their parents later on, and they're like, oh, you changed this, and it's within weeks. Mm-hmm. Not that we're always constantly changing that quick, but there have been times where things have changed that fast. So it's just something that's ever evolving. And you being a member, it's a nice place to come when it's hot out. You can get inside the air conditioning, take a look around, and learn something fun. You could spend a great deal of time just in different areas of the museum that you may not see it all in one day. So a membership is definitely the way to come and see and experience Heritage Hall and Wyandotte Popcorn Museum. When you're a member, you have access to all of that. So we encourage people to join. We also are always looking for volunteers. Volunteers are very important to us. We have a minimum of 4 people on our staff, and there's a lot that has to be done. Whether your niche is giving a tour and learning about what our exhibits are that year, and you want to tour people through the museum, or you want to work in the gift shop. Traditionally, you're popping popcorn because you get popcorn at the end of your visit. This year, we opted not to do that with COVID. Sure. Mm-hmm. So hopefully next year, we'll be able to bring that back. And then we have different volunteer opportunities, whether you want to reenact with us and be one of the characters at night at Heritage Hall, or be a character at one of our luncheons or dinners with the presidents. If you would like to help, we do education programs in the school system. Right now, that looks more like videos. Mm-hmm. So we've done a lot of video work to still interact with the schools and help get the message out there and share history with our school-age kids. Just had to change it up a little bit this year. But if you want to participate and do something like that, we have various reenactors or people who will share different historic facts and things. Then we have volunteers who help us clean the museum and keep things maintained. So that's very important as well. So we're always looking for volunteers. And if you're interested, definitely give us a call. You can call us at 740-387-4255. We're there 9 to 4 Monday through Friday. We'll take your call and we'll set you up with doing something at the museum with us.
Yeah, and like you said, even if you want to, there's lots of glass to clean.
There is lots of glass, yes.
There are a lot of floors to be dusted.
Yes.
You need people that can do things like put in a screw or
yes,
a hammer or nail, things
yes,
like that as well.
Yes.
So there are a lot of different talents that
we
can
have
be used.
Things like scanning. Now, like I said, since we've uncovered so much in archives that we need to go back and have pictures taken, we may need to have things repackaged in a different manner or unpackaged and photos taken of those things. Mm-hmm. So anybody who would like to help with that, we're interested in utilizing your skills, and we'll train you how to run the scanner if you don't know how. We really rely on our volunteers, and we have a great group of volunteers. It's been sad this year not being able to see everyone, and
Right. Then
you have so many of them who didn't come in this season just because of the COVID and the fear of trying to stay healthy and not get sick.
Right.
So we're definitely looking for volunteers always. If you would like I said, to become a member, let us know. You can get your membership online as well. Everything's online. It's very easy. And then we'll send you out your card, and you just come in and during the open hours, and you can roam the museum as often as you'd like.
And let me add to that, you don't have to be over 60 to be a volunteer.
No, you do not. You can be as long as you're potty trained and walk.
Well, I could walk.
No, we really, we have volunteers of all different ages. Marco used to come and volunteer with us regularly. They'd come in once a week and do a lot of the dusting and the glass cleaning, and we just really appreciated that, and it's been hard not having them in. But with COVID, so many places have, restricted their movement, and getting people to go on field trips, so to speak, is not happening. So it's definitely missed. We've talked about that numerous times, not having some of our volunteers in that really make a difference and help keep our museum in top shape. So there's been some days where I've been out there dusting. I don't mind as much as at home when you have to do it.
Yeah.
It's different when it's at work and you're you're kind of showing off your place there.
Yeah, that's a little different.
But no, we're, like I said, anybody who has an interest in volunteering and would like to participate or come join us, we treat our volunteers well. They're important to us. They're family. They're people that help keep things going, so definitely important.
And I don't know if we talked about the last time you were here or not, but a few months ago, a new signage showed up out front.
Oh, our electronic sign.
Yes.
Yes, that got put in about the same time, I think, that we were starting to get shut down. So we do have a new electronic sign that we can advertise our upcoming events. We try to showcase different things going on. We've participated in Light Ohio Blue, which honored our police force, and we were able to participate in that and turn everything blue. So that's been a lot of fun getting familiar with that system, and and it's nice. It's a nice sign. It's nice not to have to be out in the weather changing letters and losing letters. So it's definitely something we're very, very proud of, and that was something made possible by the Wyandotte Popcorn Museum and the George and Millie Brown Family Foundation.
Oh, okay.
So that was definitely something we were very excited to have put in place. And it was pretty neat to watch, too. We were a little leery. They bring in a big crane, and they pull out the old sign, and the new one's just hanging in the air, and you're like, no, don't let that drop. So...
But there is new signage other than
yes.
the electronic on the...
Yes,
on the,
we have the sign on the State Street side.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and it's on the stairs. So the wall that was that's our staircase was kind of blank and boring, and we were able to put a sign in there as well that advertises who we are and what's in the building. So that's been nice. And then we're still working out some kind of bugs in our lighting system, but we do have backlights that uplight the building at night and can change color. We just decided we need a few more because we didn't have enough, and we're not happy with the position they're in now, so we're making some changes there, but eventually we'll get it all worked out and we'll be lit up like the 4th of July, I guess.
Yeah. It looks very good on the outside with these signs.
It does. And then we had our landscaping redone. That's something that the Historical Society contributed to the project. And ProScape came in and did a wonderful job making our landscaping look a million times better. And Adam Electric's come in and they ran the wiring for the sign. So they've done a lot of good work for us and been really patient through this whole lighting situation and removed some old signage that we had out there too. We had old signs by the steps that kind of said Marion County Historical Society and one said Wyandotte Popcorn Museum. And we kind of made the decision that we didn't need those anymore with the new signage. So it's been a lot of work that I fortunately didn't have to do, but I just coordinated and it looks amazing. So we're pretty pleased that how it's came along and to get rid of some of the old landscaping that was just kind of overtaking everything.
Well, so. That is a beautiful building.
It is.
And you need to be able to show off the building itself. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's important.
Yes. We're very fortunate with that building. It has so much of its own history, and I'm in awe every day when I can walk through there and just think of the history in the building itself and who's been in and out of the building. And it was such a fixture when I was a kid, and that was our post office. And to go to the post office, and I can remember the stairs being so steep up to the front entrance and thinking, wow, we have to walk all those stairs. And now I'll go up and down them, and I'm like, wow, the steps sure did shrink. Or I grew, I guess. But as a kid, you just think they go on forever, and you're climbing like some great pyramid, and now they're not so big, but still impressive. But no, we definitely are fortunate with our building. It's beautiful, and we get a lot of compliments on having that space. I've had some folks from other museums who maybe have their museum in a home or different locations that aren't as sizable, and they're like, you're very fortunate to have this space. So I have to thank my predecessors who were smart enough to just have that foresight to select the old post office as our home.
Yeah, it's a beautiful location.
It is. For sure. It is. Very much so.
What else on your list there? We have about 3 minutes.
Well, I guess I'll just remind everyone, join, volunteer, and definitely remember us when you're shopping for those unique Christmas gifts coming up. Seems odd to say Christmas is coming again when it seems like this whole year just has been kind of a stop in time. And we have some wonderful, the books are just fabulous if you're into history. We have a lot of Marion County history books. And then the new one, The Moments and Memories by Randy Winland, coming out at the end of this week, that celebrates the Marion County Bicentennial and taking a look at various history throughout the last 200 years. And he's done a fabulous job with that book. Again, everything is available online at marionhistory.com, and you can select shop and take a look at what we have. If you don't see something, you can give us a call. We're there, like I said, in the office 9 to 4, Tuesday through Friday. We're there, and you can reach us at 387. I guess I should give you the area code. We use those now. 740-387-4255, and we'll be happy to help you.
Okay. And in the gift shop, there's something else that you have there that you didn't mention, was the list of who's buried in the cemeteries in Marion.
Oh, yes, we do have those. Those are from the genealogy department, compiled those, and that's very interesting. So there's a lot of good information, a lot of good books. Just give us a call, and we'll see if we can help you if you're looking for something unique.
Now, if somebody has something to donate that is related to Marion County history, how they go about doing that?
Again, if you give us a call, we're there, and we will get you in the building. We have some people who bring things, and they're too heavy to carry up steps. So we'll meet you at the back door and offload it in the auditorium. Just definitely call us, and we'll get it taken care of and make sure you can make your donation of Marion history to us.
And that would be tax deductible as well if you want to put a
Right, if they would like to have, yes, and we don't do any kind of appraisals. I know that's something we get asked a lot, but as a museum, we're legally not allowed to do appraisal, so we don't do that. But if you'd like to donate to us, we will definitely take your donation.
Okay, Brandy Wilson with the Marion County Historical Society. It's been good having you here again. We'll have to see if we can get you on here sooner.
Yes.
Again, hopefully this COVID stuff will be all over.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.
Really?
My name is Margaret, and I thought that was too mouthy. Margaret Bradley. There's no rhythm to it.